We all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations.
Hey, friend, and happy Monday, October 4th. I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. As always, thank you for tuning in to Divine Exhortations with Drea and friends. This entire season is dedicated to my beloved friends sharing a word with you each and every Monday. I have another wonderful friend and brother here with me today, and he's going to impart a word for you. Nicholas Russell, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for coming on this platform to encourage someone today. And so before we get into your exhortation, could you just briefly share your experience on coming to know the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as a lot of my peers, I grew up in church. You know, I was basically coming to church from the womb, you know, understanding the protocols and understanding the, you know, how things are quote unquote supposed to go, or so I thought at the time. And I, you know, went through all these motions and, you know, long story short, one day I entered a service of an apostolic church, and there was a lady who had been possessed by a demon. And it was interesting how it came about, because essentially the demon snitched on itself. Mm-hmm. And essentially what the demon was saying was that the lady in whom it was dating somebody whose ex wasn't finished with them yet. And so that ex decided to take it in their own hands and go to somebody, some kind of spiritualist, and have this demon attack this young lady. And,
wow.
You know, with those kinds of things, it's like at the beginning of a service, the person will seem normal. And then, you know, after a little while, things start to get uneasy as God is truly moving. Mm. And so I saw this demon get cast out of this young lady. And what was incredible to me was, before this, you would see a whole lot of hollering and trying to argue with the demon and trying to say this and that and trying to prove who you are. And it was quite simple in how this particular preacher commanded that particular spirit to come out. And, you know, essentially I said to myself, I said, I want that. Because, you know, a lot of people are complacent. A lot of people are content rather with the basic stuff. They're content with coming to church, and they're content with coming to church from 11 and leaving at whatever time. And they're content with coming to Bible study if they do. And they're content with all of these kinds of things. And I said, I want something that's deeper than just coming, and deeper than just being here for the sake of being here. I wanted something that was authentic and allowed me to be able to help people like this particular preacher helped this young lady.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And thank you for sharing that experience. That's incredible. So I will now hand over the mic to you, and you can just share your exhortation today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 4. I have, for the past several months, had a fascination and a profound love for the Amplified translation. And some may come here and get ready to crucify me for it, but I'm I'm unashamed in that regard. I've been here just loving the Amplified.
I stand with you, sir. I love the Amplified version.
And so that's where we're going to be reading from today. Exodus chapter 4, I'll read in your hearing from verse 1 to verse 13. By nature, I wouldn't say by nature, but by responsibility, I am the Bible study kind of guy. And so I want to kind of pick this apart with every few verses. So we'll read it through once and then we'll go from there. Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says these words, "Then Moses answered the Lord and said, 'What if they will not believe me or take seriously what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared unto you.'" And I want us to take note really quickly of the fact that then Moses answered the Lord, which means that they've had conversations since the previous chapter at the very least. Mm. Verse 2, "And the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.' Then he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a living serpent, like the royal symbol on the crown of Pharaoh. And Moses ran from it." Verse 4, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and grasp it by the tail.' So he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Verse 5, 'You shall do this,' said the Lord, 'so that the elders may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has most certainly appeared to you.'" Verse 6 says, the Lord also said to him, 'Put your hand into your robe where it covers your chest.' So he put his hand into his robe. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Verse 7, "Then God said, 'Put your hand into your robe again.' So he put his hand back into his robe, and when he took it out, it was restored and was like the rest of his body. Verse 8, 'If they will not believe you or pay attention to the evidence of the first sign, they may believe the evidence of the second sign.' Verse 9, 'But if they will not believe these two signs or pay attention to what you say, you are to take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take out of the river will turn into blood on that dry ground.'" Verse 10, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I am not a man of words. I'm not eloquent. I'm not fluent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue.' Verse 11, "The Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Verse 12, "Now then go, and I, even I, will be your mouth and will teach you what you shall say. But he said, 'Please, my Lord, send the message of rescue to Israel by someone else, whomever else you will choose.'" The word of the Lord is already blessed. Father, give us exhorting and teaching power, precision and clarity of speech and thought, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We go through this, the second book of the Bible, and funny enough, I'd shared with you off air, Andrea, that I hadn't gotten anything up until this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
and you know, typically God will grace me with, you know, a day or two to get what I need and all of that kind of stuff, so I'm prepared. But there's only one other time that he's done this to me. And so I'm grateful nonetheless, but I do pray that what is said tonight will, or today, or whenever you all listen, will be a blessing. We see here a very interesting dialogue between God and Moses, and Moses essentially gives himself away in the first verse by saying Moses answered, which allows us to understand that there was a continuing conversation from verse 3 that needed to be, you know, sent over into verse 4 to add another layer to what it is that they were speaking of. And when we look at chapter 4, we look at verse 1 and, you know, my notes, although I love the Amplified, my notes kind of stick to the KJV roots as much as possible. And so what it says here, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. In other words, they're not going to listen to me. And even if they do, they're not going to believe a word that comes out of our mouth. And the first question that God has me to pose here is, how often do we doubt what God has already confirmed? And we have to realize this, that God addresses this same question. And like I said, remember, this is a dialogue that is going from before this particular chapter 4, verse 1. And so when we look at Exodus chapter 3 at verse 18, it says, the elders of the tribes will listen and pay attention. In other words, they will hear you and they will believe you to what you say. And you with the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please, we ask and plead with you, let us go on a 3 days journey into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. In other words, what we're seeing here is Moses has to deal with a specific group before he even gets to who part of the final assignment is addressed to. Mm-hmm. In other words, he has to get the elders of the Israelites to be on his side so that he has enough, I guess the we Jamaicans would say backative.
Yeah.
he has enough support so that he has enough backup to go to the king. Because if he goes to the king by himself, it's not going to do much for him. But if he decides to find himself in the company of the elders so that they can endorse what he's saying, he's going to be all right. So when we look at chapter 4, how often is it that we've thought of asking a question to God so much that we forget that he has answered it already? Mm-hmm. How many times have we been in conversations with people and we look them in their face, but we're not really paying attention because we have a, but what if this is going to happen? But what if they say this? And not realizing that 10 minutes before, they had answered your question, but you were so focused on asking it that you never got the chance to get that answer. Furthermore, how many times do you hear the answer but still want to ask the question to make sure that that person is confirmed in what they're saying? Mm. One thing that I think of is there were very few times as a child that I wouldn't be hit with the question, do you have McDonald's money, after I asked to go to McDonald's? but even in the times where I was told, yes, we can go, I made sure that I asked and I was like, hey, are you sure we can do this? Are you sure? Because normally you ask me for McDonald's money and I don't have it, but now I don't have it, certainly, and it seems like you do. And we ask consistently to confirm something that has already been established or has already been confirmed.
Right.
Verses 2-5 is quite interesting. And God asks, he says, what is in your hand? And Moses answered. He says, what is in your hand? And Moses answers, he says, a staff. The next question that the Lord had asked me to pose is it possible that all you need for your assignment is already in your possession? Mm. Oftentimes, we have the gifts and we have the talents and, we're musically inclined or we're great at public speaking and all of that kind of stuff. And we know how to use it, but we don't know how to use it God's way.
Right.
And so, some people who are a fan of public speaking, they'll go to things like Toastmasters and win all of the international awards or whatever the case may be. And those who are musically inclined will go and, pick up on music lessons and start going to that. And, they reach the highest level in the conservatory or whatever the case may be. And they're good at what they do. But are they doing good with what they do? Mm. Are they going with it God's way? Are they allowing themselves to be wholly submitted to the will of God while doing what they're doing? We look at David, for example. He had musical inclination, he was anointed to be king, whatever the case may be. And there was a specific time where the Bible records that David played to the point where the evil spirits left Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just playing to play at this particular juncture. He was playing for a purpose. He was playing from a spiritual standpoint. He was playing under the unction of God. So is it possible that all you need for your assignment is already in your possession? And what we've got to understand is that oftentimes the thing that we're holding is what we need. Sometimes we forget even what we're holding. And then we forget how God can use what we're holding to his glory.
Right.
You know, some of us are like, okay, yeah, I can play keys. I can sing. Yeah, I can speak. I can do this, that, and the other. And that's good and all. But we forget that all good gifts come from the Father of lights.
Amen.
And if what you're doing is productive, there's some way that you can use it for the kingdom. If you know how, if you know how to deal with taxes, and you know how to do things so that you're able to stay above water in the most legal way, then you can use that to help out your local assembly. You can use that to help churches who otherwise might not be able to, because when people in the world do it, they're charging astronomical amounts based on what they see on paper. And if you know how to play good and well in the conservatory, how can you use that to teach young people how to play, those who want to come up, and those who want to start, getting into the arts? And if you know how to paint, why don't you use, or if you know how to, do graphic design, why don't you use that gift, that talent, to allow God to use you to create logos for churches, or to do things of that nature? Sometimes we forget that the very thing that's right in front of our faces is the same thing that we can use to get God in somebody else's face.
Amen.
Often the thing or the gift that we hold has multiple functions. That's the next point I want to bring up. And the reason that we say that is because in chapter 4, he's told to stretch forth the rod. This is even before they get to, dealing with the elders and all of that. But further on down the line, as Moses is delivering the people, we see, some people will say the sea is before them and Pharaoh's behind them. But that's the same staff that he uses, lifted up to split that sea. Yes, you can use your gift to help other churches and do this and that, but don't stop there, because there are different levels, different assignments for one gift.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing when we deal with even 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we deal with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts that God gives severally as he will, as Paul says, when you're dealing with things like the gift of healing, somebody in church is going to expect that God's going to heal them. But when you go out into the world and there's somebody on the street corner and they can't move because their leg is broken, but they can't afford the right treatment for it, and God heals them through you in that moment, they're going to remember that somebody who came in the name of the Lord did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many different functions to that. God will not always show you what will happen before you obey. And I wish people would understand this. Sometimes we get so stubborn. Even me, myself, admittedly, for example, my sister will call me sometimes, and she's like, Nick, can you come here for a second? And I'm like, for what? I'm like, even if I'm, whether I'm busy or not, I'm a big believer in not wasting energy. Not this energy that these new school folks are talking about with vibes and this, that, and the other, but like, I don't believe in wasting physical energy. So if I don't have to do something, you know, chances are I'll really think of it in my head before I even, you know, get up to do it. And so I'll always be asked, oh, Nick, can you come here for a second? Why? Sometimes we are guilty of asking God why, when all he's done is give you that first instruction.
Wow.
Sometimes that first instruction is all we should need. Oftentimes we don't understand this, and then we get into predicaments where all we had to have done is get to where we needed to go.
Very true.
Sometimes we forget that all God requires of us is to just move. If you're 30 kilometers away from a specific location, but you know the rough area of where it is, by the time you fix up your GPS and you have the GPS coordinates in place, what you saw at the beginning of your journey concerning the time is lessened because you're already on your way there.
Mm-hmm.
If you see that it's going to take 30 minutes to get there on your phone, and then you know, you start driving in the general direction because you know the area quite well, by the time you get there, it's like 5 minutes until you reach your location because you've already made this necessary steps to get to where you need to go. So we know that God will not always show us what's going to happen before we obey. And I earnestly believe that one of the reasons why he doesn't always show us that full picture is because if we were to get that full picture, we wouldn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, oftentimes, you know, when you think about it, if God was to say to Moses, if you hold out this staff, I'm going to turn it into a snake. Moses is going to be like, what? And we're talking about Moses after he's experienced God through the burning bush.
Right.
We're even as saved as we want to be, as spiritual and as gung-ho about Christianity as we want to be, God still takes us by surprise very often.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on the 31st of the month or the 30th of the month, or if it's February, then either the 29th or the 28th, and rent is due the next day, and somehow, by the time the clock strikes 12, the money is in your account to pay the bills and then some, God is taking you by surprise. When you don't know how you're going to make ends meet and ensure that groceries are in your fridge and in the cupboard, and somebody from church stops by and they hand you a bag and say, I buy in bulk and I was led to give this to you. God takes us by surprise.
He does.
And he does it so often that we don't believe what the next miracle is going to be. And oftentimes, and I'm sure that, you know, we all have done this, when God tells us something, we're just like, no way. There's no way, God. You're gonna do that? Really? No way. No way. I don't have a credit score, but you're going to allow me to purchase this building? No way. I you know, people have said this and that about my name, and they've seen me in this rust bucket car for the past 5-10 years, and randomly you're going to bless me with this? No way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we carry that no way attitude to the point where we don't believe what God is saying, and it causes us to lose out on a blessing, which we'll see in verse 14. But getting back to this, sometimes God's just like, I'm not going to tell you this, because if I tell you this, you're going to lack the faith that I've already placed in you to do and carry out the assignment that I've put on your life. And so sometimes he's just like, just do this. And then I won't have to tell you what's going to happen next because you'll see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes what happens is we do something. We don't see what happens till, you know, sometimes even years down the road. And this thing that God is dealing with concerning Moses is instant.
Yeah, that's right.
So furthermore, how much patience do we have to deal with the things that God has said? But I'll get off that. Rest assured that when what God has asked you to do happens, your faith will not only remain, but it will be reinforced.
Amen.
Verses 8 to 9 is quite interesting to me because, you know, when God says something, God is not necessarily one who's just like, all right, do this and let's have this backup plan. Here we have a backup plan, not because God can't do things in the first go round, but more so just the fact that there are still some who most likely will be stubborn when Moses starts to fulfill the assignment that's on his life. And so God literally says, if they don't believe this first sign, they're going to believe that second sign. And if they don't believe that second sign, then rest assured they're going to believe that this third sign I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gives him what he needs for that third sign. Verses 10 to 12 is quite interesting to me as well, because what God is doing here is asking Moses a question that Moses had asked him in chapter 3. If we look at chapter 3 and we go to verse 13. Chapter 3 and at verse 13, Moses says to God, "Behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Oftentimes we don't realize that when we're asking God questions, they're not necessarily questions for us.
Mm.
When we ask God what he's about to do, we're not necessarily asking for us. Although God has appeared to Moses in this specific sign, Moses is very, very wise in asking the question that he asks. He says, "What shall I say to them when they ask me who has sent me?" Because he knows his people, and he knows that somewhere down the line they're going to ask. He says, verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell them that this is who has sent you. Tell them I am has sent you." Then we look at verses 10 to 12 of chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I am not a man of words. I'm not eloquent. I'm not fluent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant." In other words, what you have said to me, how many times has God said something to us and it seems so far-fetched that we say to God, "What you've said has not changed my reality"?
Right.
How many times have we said, "God, I know that, I know that you say I'm going to be great in the music department, but I'm still clapping on the 1 and 3 and the rest of the church is clapping on the 2 and 4. As you're saying this to me, I'm still on the 1 and 3. So how do you expect for this thing to happen? Moses is saying, you speaking to me in this particular instance has not changed what I am, has not changed who I am, has not changed the things concerning me. So how is it that you expect me to do this? This thing. But the Lord answers, and I want us to understand this, you know, very, very specifically. The Lord answers Moses' question again, but for himself. Moses says, in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, he says, who should I say that has sent me to the Israelites? And God is saying, tell them I am who I am. And, you know, you'll hear preachers here, there, and everywhere saying that when he says I am that I am, that simply means that that God is whatever you need him to be.
Amen.
And I wholly believe that, that if God was to say that he's just one thing, then they would say, well, what about this? If God was to say, I'm just a healer, well, they don't really need a healer right now. Most of them won't need the healer. They need a deliverer. And if he says he's a deliverer, then there are going to be some people who are sick and can't be delivered because they're sick. So God says, I am that I am. I am who I am. I am encompasses everything. But this question kind of trickles. And so God asks him the question back to answer it. You know, many of us hate when somebody answers a question with a question, but God has to do it. And if you dare get mad, that's on you.
Right.
You know, if you decide within yourself to get upset, then that's between you and him. But for now, in what we're dealing with, God is answering his question with a question. He says, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? You're saying that you have a speech impediment and you know, some would say he has a stutter. But he says, who has made the thing that you're complaining about? When you say, I don't have enough money in the bank, but who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills?
Amen.
When you say you're sick in your body, but who told you that healing is the children's bread? When you say you're bound in a situation and that things are not going your way, but who is your deliverer?
Yes.
You know, when all hell is breaking loose in your life, but who took the power of death and hell?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes, you know, we ask God, what are you going to do in this situation? But he's asking, who created the thing that you're complaining about? Who created that thing that you're complaining about? That's another question I want to pose to us tonight. Who has created that thing that you're complaining about? One thing that I certainly want to say is this. Let us not get to the point that Moses got to in the 13th verse. But he said, please, my Lord, send the message of rescue to Israel by someone else. Whoever else you will choose. Watch this, and I want us to get this. Many of us who are listening to this and who will listen to this have already understood that God has called them to do something. The last thing that you want to do, and I believe as I'm reading this, that the reason why the anger of the Lord was kindled in verse 14 and that it burned against Moses was the fact that it's not like Moses said, let Aaron do it, full stop, or let somebody else do it, full stop. Moses acknowledged that God called him to do it and then asked him to put somebody else in that place. How many times do we try and offset the physical, the emotional, the spiritual cost of something by virtue of the fact that we think that we can't do it, or we think that somebody else can do it better than us?
Wow.
We have to realize that, and I heard a preacher say this one time, God's word is afraid of him because God's word will not come back to him void, which then means that if you're not going to do it, somebody else will do it because God's word is not going to face God and say, this didn't get done.
Right.
Some of us exploit that. Woe unto us. Some of us exploit that. And we know that what God is saying must be done is going to be done. We shun the invitation. We shun the invitation of our assignment and tell it to be and ask God to pass it to somebody else simply because we still don't believe in ourselves that we can do it.
Yeah, that's it.
And because of that, Aaron had to do something that he didn't need to do. Aaron was doing what he needed to do already. I want to put this into perspective for all of us. The more that you start to offset things for God to give somebody else is the more stress you're putting on another individual. God will not ask you to handle something that you just can't handle.
Right.
God is not going to tell you to run a marathon tomorrow when you haven't ran since the beginning of the pandemic. He's not going to tell you to pay all of these bills and do all that kind of stuff if he can't trust you with money. He's not going to tell you to pick up your socks and start saving this and start investing that if you haven't started to train yourself in that area already. He's not going to tell you to manage $1 million for him and his church when you can't even handle 100. And so what we see here is that what God has asked to be done will be done in the following chapters, but it didn't have to be done that way. It did not have to be done that way, because what God had asked Moses to do, and I want us to pay attention to this, in verse 12, "Now then go." Remember, Moses is saying, I have a stuttering issue. My tongue is heavy. Whatever else is wrong with speech. He was saying, I can't do this because I can hardly talk. In verse 12, he says, "Now then go, and I will be your mouth and will teach you what you shall say." And as I was dealing with this earlier, I dealt with this only on a surface level, and I thought that God was saying that he was going to speak through Moses the same way that we deal with, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. But sometimes we miss that second part. We miss that that latter part of that particular verse, verse 12, where he says, "I will, as I am your mouth, I will teach you what you're going to say."
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as you're in this thing that I'm calling you to do, I'm going to put into your mind the things that you have to do. As I'm telling you to go and, if you're a financial advisor and God leads you to handle the finances of your church, as I'm telling you how to do this, I'm going to show you different ways of how to balance this out and how to ensure that this is up to par and all of that. If I've shown you and you already know how to cook, for example, and I'm telling you to open this catering business, and you've no idea how to deal with things in bulk, and you're always self-conscious about your cooking or whatever the case may be, I'm going to tell you when to put a little less salt in. Some of us think that God is only the God of "Thus saith the Lord, you must fast for 30 days and this, that, and the other." And I've been hearing a lot of people, a lot of my peers over the past little while saying, we got to start to approach God for the little things.
That's right.
And I spoke on a prayer line months back, I realized that it's not just those big things that God wants us to come to him with. Even the very things, and I remember one of my peers was preaching about this, even to the very clothes that we wear, we ought to be able to come to God and say, "Hey, this is what this is." Because what could happen in a lot of instances is, let's say I ask God, "What shirt should I wear today?" And he says, "Wear that red one." And I wear the red one and I go outside, I do what I have to do, and somebody stops me and compliments me on that red shirt. I now have an opening to talk to that person, and by not even just my words, but by preaching the gospel through my actions, they want to know what makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know what makes me so so joyful. What makes me want to smile all the time, all through what I was wearing. It didn't have anything to do with me holding a Bible in my hand, speaking in tongues, because a lot of people will turn the other way if they see you. A lot of people, they pretend that they're not home when certain religious sectors will come to their door and knock. I won't call any specific names. And so seeing you holding a big old Bible, the Bible you can hardly carry, speaking in tongues and wearing, you know, your best church frock or your best church suit out on the road doing everyday things is going to deter a lot of people. But if they like the color of your shirt and it just happens to be their favorite color, you now have that opening to be like, to encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says you'll receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses, all of that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean you're going to be, and God said, let there be, and having to take your puffer every 2 seconds. Sometimes that witnessing is literally you living your life. Somebody said that at all times we ought to preach the gospel, and I'm paraphrasing, and if necessary, we ought to use words.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share this with you, and then I will certainly hand it back over to you. I used to work for the city in which I live, city of Brampton, and at one point I was working outside during the winter, manning the fire pit. So we would be responsible for keeping the fire going in the middle of one of our local parks. You know, giving people a place to keep warm after they've done their skating and roast marshmallows and all of that kind of stuff. And I was working, doing what I have to do. I wasn't wearing anything special. Just with me, I get cold easy, so I'm super bundled up and all of that fun stuff. And a lady, you know, she says to me, she says, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Are you a Christian?" Out of nowhere. Wow. I'm wearing a toque. I'm wearing everything possible. People could hardly see my face, but out of nowhere, she says, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And it was crazy to me. And I shared this with my young people. I asked her, you know, later on, actually, you know what? Let me backtrack real quick. So she says, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Yes, I am." And then she says to me, one of her children, you know, is ill, and she wanted me to pray for that particular child. And I said, "You want me to do that right now?" She's like, no, that's not necessary. You can do it when you get home. But I just wanted to make sure that I asked you to pray." And then I said, I'll certainly do that. And before she turned around, I said to her, or she turned around, and then I called back to her, and I asked her, I said, "How did you know that I was a Christian? Why did you ask?" And she said to me, and we're talking about the only light is the street lights. And, you know, it was close to Christmas time. So, you know, you'll see all of those lights that they put on the trees and everything. And she said to me, "There was a light that was shining around you."
Mm.
And I'm thinking, lady, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. Close to December, if not December, it's quite dark. What do you mean there's a light? She said there's a light. And instantly I was just like, it can't be the firelight, because my coworker was right by the firelight as well. It can't be these street lights. It can't be. And so I was confused for a while. So I turned back to what I was doing, and then I turned back around, and I couldn't find that lady anywhere.
Mm.
It's like she just up and disappeared. It gives me chills every time I think about it.
Wow.
Sometimes it's not even in what you say. But if you do have to say something, God's promise to us is that he will be our mouth, and that he will teach us what we have to say. If you feel that you're weak, just remember and understand that even in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Back to you.
Wow. Thank you, Nicholas, honestly, for sharing such a thought-provoking teaching today, a very solid word. And I pray that we will step out on faith and use what God has already given us.
Amen.
Could you just do us the honor and close this segment out in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we glorify you and we thank you for the words that you have spoken. Thank you that you have given us the privilege to be in your presence. For all who hear this in the days, the weeks, the months, the years to come, may they understand even now that the purpose that you have for their life is one that requires them to move. We thank you that you've equipped us enough that if plan A doesn't work, that there is certainly a plan B that will. And if whatever happens in plan B doesn't work, that plan C will allow for the hearts of your people to be turned. God, we ask even right now that you would allow us to go through the motions, allow us to go through the trials and the tribulations so that we can come out as pure gold. Allow us even at times to go through the fire as needs be so that we can reach the expected end that you have given to us. You said in the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah that you've called us and ordained us that we should be a prophet to the nations. And even now, God, allow us to be able to get to that place where we can just do what you say without hesitation. Father, as you speak to us, help us to be moving consistently and constantly. Allow us the opportunity to be able to do what it is that you say without any take back, without any stepping back. Allow us to be able to stretch forth the staff and watch as it proves who you are. Allow us to let people know that the I am that I am has sent us to do that which he has said. And so we're grateful to you, God. Allow for our ministries to just continue to flourish, not with anything from man, but all from God. Allow us to be able to speak people out of certain situations through you, and you speaking through us so that they can get out of whatever rut they're in. God, we pray right now that there's a fire that will continue to burn in the hearts of your people, that they would continue to do just what you have said. And even if we don't get the full picture, allow us to see the brushstroke that will continue to catapult us into your glory at another time. Thank you for Andrea Harper and for what she's doing here. We thank you for this podcast, that it may be a blessing and that it may reach the world many times over. We ask, God, that you would continue to pour back into her as she pours out to your people on a regular basis. And we ask, God, that you would continue to touch her and her family, that they would continue to stay with you, stay in you, that you would continue to stay around them, surround them with a hedge of protection again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pray this exhortation has inspired you to act on God's word, challenged you to believe what his word says, and encouraged you to put your confidence in him. With that being said, have a wonderful week, everyone. Much love and many blessings. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, friend. Thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next Monday.